This morning we'll be in chapter 10 of Genesis. These next couple chapters have a lot of genealogy. It can be tough. And I won't tell you, as I've told you before, I won't tell you I understand every bit of this genealogy. I know there's a purpose for it. It didn't come here by accident. God put it in here for a reason. I can see pieces of it. And I'll tell you that, what I know. That's all I can do. Okay? Now these are the generations of the son of Noah, sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And to them were sons born after the flood. The sons of Japheth, it was Gomer, Magog, Madal, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshech, and Tyrus. And the sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz, Riphath, and Togarmah. And the sons of Javan was Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, Dodanim. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after their families in their nations. And the sons of Ham was Cush, Mitzram, Phut, Canaan. And the sons of Cush was Seba, Havilah, Sebtah, Rahamah, Sebtichah. And the sons of Ramah was Sheba and Dedan. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore it is said, even Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh in the land of Shinar. Out of that land went forth Asher and builded Nineveh, and the city Rehoboth and Calah, and Reseth between Nineveh and Calah, the same as the great city. And Mizraim begat Ludim, and Anamim, and Lehabim, and Naphtuhim, and Pathrusim, and Kathluhim, out of whom came Philistim, and the Kathterim. That's a mouthful, isn't it? And Canaan begat Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth. And the Jebusite, and the Amorite, and the Girgashite, and the Heavite, and the Arkite, and the Sinite, and the Arvadite, and the Zemadite, and the Hamathite. And afterwards were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. And the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon, as you come to Gera, unto Gaza, as you go to Sodom and Gomorrah, unto Adamah and Zeboiim, even to Lachey. These are the sons of Ham after their families, after their tongues, in their countries, and in their nations. To Shem also, and the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the older, even to him were children born. And the children of Shem was Elam, and Asher, and Arphaxad, and Lud, and Aram. And the children of Aram was Uz, and Hul, and Gether, and Mash, and Arphaxad begat Zelah, and Zelah begat Eber. And to Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days were the earth divided. Excuse me. And his brother's name was Joktan. And Joktan begat Almodad, and Shelep, and Hazarmaveth, and Jerah, and Hadoram, and Uzal, and Diklah, and Obal, and Abimael, and Sheba, and Ophir, and Havilah, and Jobab. All these were sons of Joktan, and their dwelling was from Mesha, as you go into Sephar, a mount of the east. And these are the sons of Shem after their families, and after their tongues, and in their lands after their nations. And these are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. Whew. Anybody want to say them things 3-4 times real fast? Huh? Yeah, you can use those for your children's names. Yeah. Time you want to. Like I say, some of this genealogy stuff's pretty tough. It's here for a reason. If I had a total understanding of everything, I probably wouldn't be standing here. I'm still learning like you are, okay? My class hasn't let out yet. Now, these are the generations, back to verse 1, or the family history of the sons of Noah. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. There's three realms there, isn't there? And he's going to tell you all these things that go along with each one of them. And I really see this as divided into three sections of this chapter. The sons of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Okay? And they were, and there were sons born to them after the flood or the deluge. Okay? If you ever hear the terminology, you'll hear people talking about the Diluvians. You know what that is? Pre-Diluvians, post-Diluvians. You know what that is? The Diluvian is the word for deluge. It's a different word for deluge, and it's like the people before or after the flood. Pre, before the flood, post, after the flood. When you hear them call this word Diluvian, okay? I hope I can put another word in your vocabulary today. I know I've spoke a whole lot of them already, but we'll see if you can remember them, okay? And it says, the sons of Japheth, and here's what he tells you what Japheth is. Now, do you remember in earlier teaching when I taught the sons of Noah were Shem, Ham, and Japheth? What was Shem? It was the first realm, Passover experience. Ham, hot, black, brown, whatever, you know, in darkened. And that's the Pentecostal realm. And Japheth is the what? It's the open expansion, which is the tabernacles experience, okay? Third day, okay, the three realms. Look which one he talks of first. He talks of the third realm, giving it preeminence. There's where we want to be, okay? And his first son is Gomer. His son means complete. Well, I can tell you in the third day, it will be complete. That's the completion of all things. Jesus said in the Gospels, he said, in the first two days, I do miracles and cures, and on the third day, I'll be perfected or completed. Just a coincidence, right? I don't think so, but that's what we'll let it go at that. Magog, the land of God. Coming out of that third day, the land of God. Madal, what does that mean? Means the middle land. Some of these words, middle land, M-I-D-D-L-E. Some of these words are hard to try to tie something together with, but I'm just going to tell you the definitions that I could find of them, and we're going to have to let go of that. Javan means hot and active, or effervescing, you know, like some, like you put an Alka-Seltzer in there and it all bubbles up and boils up. Okay, there should be a lot of that in this third day in Mount Zion, in the tabernacles move. There should be a lot of effervescing. Not in the realm of Pentecost, but in the tabernacles. It's a manifestation of Christ, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Cooking it all up. And Tubal, the word Tubal means you shall be bought. Well, guess what? We have been. We have been bought, haven't we? Okay? Meshech. Meshech means a drawing out or a fishing out. It's like fish something out, draw something out. And you know what? We were drawn out of the earth, weren't we? We've been drawn out. And Tyrus. What does that mean? Desire. Means a desire. And you know what? It's his desire, not ours. His plans and purposes will prevail, not ours. What he wants, he gets. Now into verse 3, and the sons of Gomer, which was one of the sons of Japheth, was Ashkenah. What does that mean? It means a man sprinkled or fire scattered. It could be a man sprinkled with fire. And I think the book says clearly that he will make his ministers a flame of fire, didn't he? All these good traits coming out of this one here. A lot of good stuff. Okay. Riphath. What's it mean? Spoken. Talking about words. There's going to be a lot of words spoken from these people. And Togarma means you will break her. What's the her? It's your soul. And you will break her because of all these other things prior to that. Like I say, I'm not seeing it. And if I see a finger sticking up out of the ground, I got enough sense in my mind I can see that there's probably a body underneath that finger. And I'm seeing patterns in this thing. And like I say, it'll keep coming. I just want you to see that there's a pattern to all this. It's not just something boring to all these names. There really is something here. And in Psalm 119, he said, 165. Let me read that to you. I went right by it. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Let me read it to you the way God put it in my heart. Abundant health, prosperity, and peace have they which love, which have a strong and emotional desire to possess and be in the presence of God's direction, God's teaching, and God's instruction. And nothing exists, no stumbling block, no obstacle, no enticement, or no idol that could cause them to fall away from God. I think he said they must love my word. See? It's loving his word. That's all God wants us to do. Just love his word. Okay? Where did I leave off? I mean, beg pardon? I'm at Elisha. And the sons of Javan was Elisha. What does that mean? God of the coming one. Elisha, El, God. God of the coming one. Huh? Yep. And Tarshish means a yellow jasper. It's a stone. It's a precious stone. Which we are. And Kittim. Kittim is something that's hard. It means bruisers or tough. Someone's tough. And you know what? There's a tough love involved in this realm. It's tough. Sometimes people might view you as being a bruiser, but you're really not. You're just sticking to your guns. And Dodom. What does Dodom mean? Leaders. Leaders. You know where the leaders come from? He said, to those that overcome will I give right to sit on my throne and rule and reign with me. Didn't he? That's where they're coming from. See, they're coming out of this realm, this genealogy of Japheth. There's where the sons, the first fruit, are coming out of. And by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after his families, and in their nations. So the nations of the Gentiles was overrun by these, scattered abroad. And the sons of Ham were Cush. Cush means black, or speak of ignorance. We're in the, excuse me, but the Pentecostal thinking. In myself, anyone else is still in that Pentecostal thinking process. And Mizraim, what does that mean? Huh? Well, it means the land of the copse. Does anybody know what a copt is? C-O-P-T? Nope. It's a group of people, but it's a certain type of people. There you go. It's Egyptians. It's right. Egyptians. So it's the land of Egypt. And Egypt would be what? The world. Mike said the right thing, but I was just taking you around to show you how it come right back to his answer. Okay? You were right in your answer. I was just showing you how it led to that. Because it's speaking of Egyptians, and that's the world. Okay? And Phut, what's that mean? A bow. Now, is that a bow covenant or is it a bow war? In the Pentecostal realm, it's a weapon, not a covenant. As long as I think that way, I think I'm doing God's work to kill people. I can kill them because they're not like me. Right? And Canaan. And Canaan speaks of what? Low land or low degree of people. And the sons of Cush was Seba. Seba means you drink. It's where you start to get your drink. And Havilah. Havilah means what? Circular. Guess what our path is? How long did the Jews stay in the desert circling the mountain? Well, we can do it in 40 years or 40 days. You know, I'd choose the 40 days myself, somewhere closer than the 40 years. Although I was pretty close to 40 years when I started out of it. Okay. Sabbatah means striking, old age, or circuiting. And Rama means the mane of a horse in the wind. The mane of a horse in the wind, like the wind blowing, like a beast running and the wind blowing around his neck, you know, making his hair fly. They sure do. They sure do. And Sabticha. Now, you see, I'm having to say these words a second time, and it's tough. It's tough the first time. That word means cause wounding. In the Pentecostal realm, there's a lot of wounding that's caused by their understanding, not by the truth. And the sons of Rama were Sheba. Sheba means what? Seven or a covenant. Oath or covenant. Okay? And Dedan. What's that mean? Well, Dedan means a judge in the low country. And you know what? In the first realms, in these lower realms, we all, in our thinking process, love to judge people. Until you come to the realm of tabernacles, you'll always want to judge people. And when you come to that truth, just like Jesus said when the woman was brought to him in adultery, the law said, kill her. And he said, I don't condemn you. Where's your accusers now? I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. See, there's the understanding of what the Christ heart is. The heart of the Father is not to condemn, but to forgive and encourage. Well, we're talking spiritual things here.
Even spiritual. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the only reference we really have to it.
Well, if we dig into God's love, we have another reference instead of the dead.
But we're always evaluating other people as a reference to sometimes of what we are.
Right, and that's a prejudice that's unfair.
Yes.
It's a prejudice that's unfair. And no matter what you or I or anyone has done, we don't have a right to judge it because we've all done wrong. And there's no degree of wrong except in the mind of humanity. In God, there's wrong and right. Okay? And He doesn't even judge you for the wrong because He knows the wrong is in your life to show you the right. Okay? So we have to get rid of this prejudice, and that comes only when we come into the land of tabernacles, the realm of it. Have to have the positive and negative. Okay? And Cush begot Nimrod. Okay? Now, what does Nimrod's name mean?
Hunter.
Rebellion.
Rebellion.
Speaks of rebellion. He was a hunter, but his name speaks of rebellion. Okay? And which one of us has not been in rebellion? If anybody says me, I'm going to say you're lying through your teeth. Okay? We've all been in rebellion. Okay? But he began to be a mighty one where? It didn't say in the heavenlies, did it? Didn't say in the spirit realm. He become a mighty one in the earth. See? And you know what Paul wrote? He said, the ones that's earthly mind earthly things, and the ones that's spiritual mind heavenly things or spiritual things. You see what I'm saying? You'll know a tree by the fruit it bears. Okay. And he said, he was a mighty hunter before or in the presence of the Lord, Yahweh, the Father, in the presence of the Father. That wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter, before Yahweh, the Father. And the beginning of his kingdom. Now this word beginning is not a good rendering. The word here should be this. I'm going to write on the board so you won't forget it. That word beginning should be this. R-U-L-E and or realm. The rule and realm of rebellion is what we're talking about. Nimrod. Rebellion, this is its rule and realm. Its rule and realm was what? Babel, Babel, however you want to pronounce it. It means confusion. Okay? So the rule and realm of rebellion is in... Can you see that? If you can put that in your mind, understand that the rule and realm of this rebellion works where? If there's not confusion, and confusion, to be confused, there must be two thought processes at least. Hello? Does that make sense? Didn't someone say in the New Testament that a double-minded man is unstable in what? Okay, so we're caught up in it, we're in this realm of Nimrod in rebellion. We're caught up in this Nimrod as long as we're in rebellion, and that's because of the confusion. If we would slow down and hear what God has to say, okay, start doing some work for ourselves and find out what all this is about, it will start to remove this realm of confusion. Then you're going to be able to clearly see what was going on. You'll be able to see your own rebellion. You'll be able to see a lot of things. Okay, let's go on with this. Yes. Ignorance. Absolutely. Absolutely. Cush did it, and his name means black or ignorance. Okay. His kingdom was, or his rule and realm was Babel and what? Erech. Erech means this. Long. Confusion and rebellion is long in your life. Most people will take it through their entire life. Okay? And Akkad. It's also this. It's long. It's subtle. It's subtle. That's what Akkad means. And Kaune is this. Kaune means a fortress. Fortress of Anu. Anybody know who Anu was? Anu was a female goddess of the sky. Okay? Pagan god. She was a god of the sky, the air, and the earth. They was kind of saying she was in charge of it all. Don't think so, but that's what they thought. But what it's speaking of is it being a fortress in paganism. In confusion, guess where you'll be? You'll be in paganism. You'll be worshiping the wrong things. Can you help that? Not till you come out of confusion, you can't. Can you blame a dog for barking? That's what dogs do. Confused people worship pagan things. True or false? Nothing you can do about it. Until God creates the hearing ear and the seeing eye in them, there's nothing anybody can do. Leave them alone. God doesn't want you to go out there and be a sheriff and try to straighten the world up. He's already got it under control. Okay, where am I at? Kaune, in the land of Shinar, right? What's Shinar mean? Two rivers. Again, we've got two supplies. What is a river made up out of? Okay, but we've got two flows. Two flows, and it equals what? Confusion. We've got things coming from our natural mind. Doesn't this sound like the church world? You got something coming from your natural mind and some coming spiritual at them and colliding, and usually the natural wins because it makes more sense to you, because it's easier. It's church deception in confusion. And the worst thing about deception is what? You're deceived. It deceives you. That's the worst thing about it. Okay? When you're deceived, you don't know it. If you know you're deceived, then you're not deceived. You're just in rebellion. Right? If you know you're doing something in deception, it's not deception any longer to you. It's just pure rebellion. Okay? And out of that land went forth what? Beg your pardon? Asher? Asher? Could be Assyria, Assyria is where it would come to. But it means happy or successful. And builded the town called what? Nineveh was the abode of Ninus, another pagan god. Okay? So they're building cities for their gods. And the city Rehoboth, what was that? It's a wide place. Or streets.
Rehoboth means wide?
Wide place. It's like the center of a city, really, is what it's really talking about. The big square in the center of the city, the center of tension. Okay?
Center of attention.
Yeah, it's the big center, like where they have the big markets and everything. They call it the plat, you know, the big square in the center. Okay? And Calais. Calais speaks of what? What'd you say? Vigor. It also, if you go to the root word of that, means maturity. Okay? It means maturity. But what's the word you said again, Mike? Vigorous. Okay. I couldn't hear what you were saying. That's my hearing, not you. Vigorous, yeah. Okay, I hear you. Now, where'd I leave off at? Starting in 12. And resin. What's it speak of? A bridle. What's a bridle do? Kind of turns the horse's head, kind of restrains what he does. Okay? So we need some of that, don't we? We need some of this horse head turned around. It's control, yes. And resin between Nineveh, right? And Calais, right? And Calais means what? Maturity. Huh? Trying to restrain that rebellion in man. You can't restrain it. You got to get it out, right? 13, and Mitzram, land of the Egyptians, okay, begat Ludum. What does Ludum mean? Strife. Egyptian speaks of duality, correct? And it also speaks of, it says, they begat strife. Duality begets what? Strife. An anonym. What's it mean? It means an affliction of the waters. Troubled waters. And Lehabim means flames. Uh-oh. And Naphtuhim means opening, or it's an Egyptian tribe. And I see it as an Egyptian tribe. Anything to do with Egypt is confused and in duality. Probably.
Why are you saying anything to do with
Egypt? Egypt is a symbol of the world, the natural, the negative against God. Okay. Verse 14. And Pathrusim, some of these words, means a region of the south. South means what? Comfort zone. Comfort place. So the comfort and Casluhim, which means fortified, out of whom came Philistim. Philistim is the same as Philistine, which is the rolling in the dust, or the dust mites, as I call them. They love to play in the dust. They roll in it. They're not trying to get out of it. They like it. Okay? And Captorim. Now, Captorim, what does it mean? A crown, if we go a little deeper in the word, it says a crown-shaped island. An island shaped like a crown, so it would be kind of round. Okay, but what does the word, huh? Could be. And but it says island. Island means something to me. Isolation, seclusion, separation. See, so you get caught up in yourself. And that's the thinking processes that the church world has. If you don't think like me, you're my enemy. But see, God in His infinite wisdom saw so much farther than the church people do. He saw that our differences was our strength. See, what I can do, maybe you can't do, but you can do something that I can't do. And if we get together, the book says, one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. My God, what would happen if a handful of us got together? Huh? How many could you turn to flight? He's teaching you in that process right there that we're, our differences is our strength. If everybody, let's say it this way, if everybody was a house painter, then who would build the house? We wouldn't get the house built. If everybody was an eye doctor, everybody's teeth could rot and fall out and you'd have no dentist to take care of their teeth. See, everybody has a different call in the body of Christ, and we should learn to work together. And it should be exampled by us working together in the Spirit. It should happen in our natural lives. Because whatever's in the Spirit should be flowing over into your natural life as you walk on this earth. True or false? So if I can do something to help you in the natural, what should I be doing? I should be doing it, as long as it doesn't take me off my course. If God has something to do, I've got to do that first. But then I've got to take care of everything else. Okay? So it should be rolling right over into our lives. Okay, we're into verse 15, right? And Canaan begat Sidon. What's his name mean? Catching fish. Catching fish. Now, I could handle that for a while. His firstborn and Heth. What's Heth mean? Heth means terror, and he is a Hittite. Remember Deuteronomy 7? The Sevenites, the bad things? Hittite was one of them that was for terror or fear. Okay? And the Jebusite, there's another one of themites. What's the Jebusite represent? It's the original name of Jerusalem was Jebus. And so anybody that lived in Jebus was a Jebusite. And since religion is founded in that area, it's considered the religious capital of the world. So a Jebusite is a religious spirit. Okay? And the Amorite. Amorite. That's a spirit of pride. Hello? Amorite. What is? I used to say it all the time until people got on me when I first began ministering. I'd say, am I right? And they'd say, huh? So that broke me of saying that all the time. Now I'll say, is that correct? True or false. Use it some other way. But I don't use the Amorite anymore. Okay, the Amorite is pride. The Girgashite is what? It's a lying spirit. You don't have to teach people how to lie. Something resident in them. And you know what? You can take the littlest child in the world and say, don't you pick up this thing right here in my hand. Lay it in front of them. And they'll reach over and pick it up. And you say, did you pick it up? And they're holding it in their hand. Say, no. Who taught the child to lie? No. It was inherited in them when it was born. That's the things that's already inside of our thinking process. That's that natural mind will defend itself immediately. That's natural thinking. Sometimes, Bob, the parents do teach. But it's already resident. They just bring it. They enhance it. It's already in us. Okay? Okay, we got the Girgashite, right? That's what we just did? Okay, verse 17, we got the Heavite. What is that? Violence. Violence. And the Archite is a gnawing or a biting. You're gnawing at something. And the Sinite speaks of something bush with thorns on it. Sure could be, couldn't it? In verse 18, the Arvadite, I shall break loose, is what that word means. Rebellion to the max. And the Zemarite, Zemarite means a double fleece of wool. A double fleece of wool. Insecurity. They wouldn't believe one fleece. They have to go back and put a second one out. Double-mindedness. Insecurity. And that's insecurity. Okay. Hamathite. Anybody know anything about Hamath? It's a walled city. Walled meaning religious mind with a wall built around it that a jackhammer can't break through. I believe what I believe and you can't tell me anything else. That's a walled city. When David took the land, he throwed a party for the whole nation. And David was a type of Christ. And when he threw it for everybody, he invited everybody from Hamath to Succoth. And the word Succoth means what? Dirty and slimy. All the way to Hamath, the wall. He said, I got the lowest realm to the highest, thinking in their own mind that think they are. I'm inviting everybody. You know, Hamath didn't show up. They were religious. They couldn't be seen with all those dirty people. Kind of like religion today. Kind of like it. Okay, where did I leave off? Hamath, okay. And afterwards were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. And the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon. And that means what? Catching fish. So guess where that's at? It's on the coast. Okay? As you come into Gera, and what's Gera mean? No, Gera? Gerar? What's it mean? Bring up the cud. Regurgitate. Chew the cud, like a cow regurgitating a cud and chewing it again. Unto Gaza, which means what? Strong. As you go into Sodom, which means burning or burnt. And Gomorrah, which was the ruined heap. And into Adama, which is the red earth. Adam, Adama. And Zeboiim, which is the gazelle, even to Lasha. And Lasha speaks of a fissure, a place where things gush out of the earth. Like a volcano, okay? Something like that, only in a smaller form. These are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their tongues, and their countries, and their nations. And to Shem, also the father of all the children of Eber. And what is Eber? One that passes. So Shem is the father of all the children that pass. Wouldn't that be humanity? Yep, all of them passing. It'll be Passover. The last one being talked of, huh? The brother of Japheth the elder, even to him were children born. And the children of Shem was Elam, which means eternity or distant, and Asher, which happy or successful, and Arphaxad, which is I shall fail as the breast. You get that name? I shall fail as the breast, or he cursed the breast bottle. Somebody didn't like mama here, did they? Have no way of giving any life, do they? and Lud, which is strife, and Aram, which is the exalted or the prideful. And the children of Aram was Uz, which is what? It's a council or a council of words. And Hul, which is a circle. And Gether, which speaks of fear. Or Gather, it's a gay, the G-E should be gay. Gather. And Mash, which speaks of, again, of the drawing out. And Arphaxad begat Selah. Selah means what? It speaks of a sprout, something, an offshoot, or a sprout. And Selah begat Eber, and Eber here means the region beyond. And to Eber were born two sons. The name of the one was Peleg, which means division or an earthquake or contention. Because in his days was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. What does Joktan mean? Small, or he will be made little, or little. Okay? And Joktan beget Almodad. Almodad means not measured. Kind of like don't measure the outer court. And Sheleth means extracted or drawn forth. And Hazar Maveth means a village of death. Huh? Sure it is. And Jirah means what? New moon. And Hadoram means noble honor. And Uzal means I shall be flooded. And Dikla means a palm grove. And Obel means stripped bare. And Abimael is my father is El, or my father is God. And Sheba, which is the oath or the covenant. And Ophir is circular. And Havilah means, Ophir means reduced to ashes, reduced to ashes. Havilah is circular. And Jobab is a howler or hatred, like a dog howling, someone complaining, murmuring all the time, or hated. All these were the sons of Joktan. And their dwelling was from Mesha. And Mesha means what? Freedom or salvation. As you go to Sephar, which is censor, or what? Or census or numbered. A mount in the east. So all the way from salvation to the place they're numbered, guess what? They're all there. These are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, and their lands, and their nations. These are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations, in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. We're not talking about anything pre-flood. This is all after flood. And after that flood, there's three things, and we're going to come in. The covenants are already showing up here before the covenants were actually spoken to Abraham. This is speaking of the covenants ahead of time. In the next chapter, we're going to get into a few things, but it's also going to be some more genealogy. And once we get out there, it's not so bad. This genealogy, I understand, is tough, but there's some beautiful shadows and types that you can see inside of here if you would just slow down to see it. Don't say, oh, what's all that mean? Take time to look at it. Let the Spirit of God open your mind up and see. And I just showed you the outline of this today. I didn't try to get real deep in anything because I'm not real deep in that, in the genealogy. Because there's a whole lot of things I need to learn too. There's divisions in the earth, and it's because, and all these names here is really not speaking of people. What's it speaking of? Characteristics or natures of human beings. And in whatever realm you're in, whether it's Ham, Shem, or Japheth, whatever one of those three covenants you're in, that's the nature you're going to be. Okay? So don't think it's just talking about people. This is a spiritual thing. You got to understand that these are characteristics. In the book of Ruth, there was three women. You remember?
Is that what some churches use that in their name for, to say they're the center of the church?
Well,